Oh, there was one other problem I forgot to mention. Little Alfred's furry slippers. You might recall that he'd been walking through the honey with them, and they were, well, you can imagine. Furry slippers plus honey is a real bad combination. They were a mess, and every time he took a step, he spread the mess to other parts of the house. It wasn't easy, but I managed to get the point across to him that he needed to park those dadgum slippers and maybe even burn them in the stove. It took all my vast skills as a communicator to convince him of this, an unusually large number of wags and whimpers and nose pointings, but at last he figured out that honeyed slippers leave tracks. Whew. That was a toughie. He changed into his boots, pulled on his coat, and we went out the back door to bring in some firewood. Oh, and when Alfred opened that back door, a gust of cold wind greeted us, and I had to listen to Drover whimper and cry. He was curled up in a little white ball on the rug and shivering. Do you suppose he offered to help, lend a hand, join the cause? Oh, no. He moaned and complained and said he was freezing to death. The little weenie. Sometimes I think, oh well, that was typical Drover, helpless in a crisis and worthless to the end. We went outside, Alfred and I, and fellers, it didn't take us long to figure out that this was a vicious storm. That wind was so strong and cold, it took our breath away, and we could hardly see through the swirling snow. It was hard to believe that the day had begun warm and clear, that only hours ago we had enjoyed a calm fall day. But that's the way it is with storms on the prairie. They come out of nowhere, without warning, and strike with the fury of a demon. That's how people in the old days froze to death, I guess. What do I know about the old days? Forget it. We staggered through the drifts that were beginning to pile up in the yard, stumbled through the swirls of snow. And yes, it was a little scary. I mean, I'm not the kind of dog who often feels small and insignificant, but the raw, brutal power of that storm made me feel, well, small and insignificant. Alfred noticed it too. I felt his hand searching for me, and he held me close as we made our way to the wood pile. He made a cradle of his arms, he'd seen his dad do it many times, and loaded it with several sticks of whatever kind of wood it was. Hackberry, chinaberry, cedar, cottonwood. Slim and Loper cut up all the dead trees on the ranch, see, and used it for stove wood, so a guy was never sure what kind of wood he might be throwing into the stove. As you might have guessed, I wasn't able to carry much wood, just one small branch of kindling in my mouth. The boy had to do most of the heavy work on this deal, but I led the way back to the house. We dropped our wood on the utility room floor and went back for another load. And yes, Drover sat up long enough to complain about all the cold air we were letting into the house. Back and forth we went until we had a fair-sized pile of wood inside the house. By that time, we were both plastered with snow and exhausted from the effort. When Alfred had closed the door for the last time, he heaved a sigh and shook his head.
Miss Fowl was never gonna make it. It's awful.
The ends of his mouth turned down.
Hanky, I'm scared. I wish my mommy and daddy were here.
His cheeks were red from the cold, and I had to lick some of the snow off his face. Yes, it was a scary time, and all of us wished his folks were there. But they weren't, and we had to buck up and be brave and do our jobs. We needed to get that fire going in the stove. Alfred carried several sticks of wood through the house and into the living room, where the big cast iron stove was located. I tried not to notice all the tracks we left on the floor, but we left plenty of them, mud and melted snow. I made a mental note to go back later and clean up the mess. As we passed through the kitchen, we paused to look at the timer. 45 minutes had passed. Miss Viola hadn't made it yet. Alfred opened up the door of the stove and looked inside.
How does my dad start the fire?
We studied the situation together. I wasn't sure. I mean, I had been in the room where Slim had fired up his stove, and I knew there were some tricks to building a fire in a coal stove. But what were the tricks? Wait, something about the draft. Yes, that was it, the draft. You had to get a hot fire going so that the smoke and so forth would go up the chimney. A cold chimney didn't draw air as well as a hot one, so we needed newspapers. That's what they started with, wadded up newspapers. And once they got the newspapers to burning, they added small sticks of kindling. Newspapers, kindling, then logs. Alfred made a little teepee of kindling around the paper. Now all we needed was Slim to approve our work and do the final honors of striking the match. Alfred went for him. It took a while to wake him up, but at last he appeared at the door, red-eyed, scowling, hair down in his eyes. He looked pretty bad. He came over to the stove and studied our work. Huh. Not bad for an orphan child and a soup hound. She ought to light if that wood ain't too wet. He struck the match and lit the newspaper. A little yellow flame began nibbling at the papers. We held our breath. It grew and grew, but then a big gust of wind came down the chimney and blew it out. Smoke came back into our faces and into the room. Slim tried it again, and this time the smoke began curling up the chimney. He added more paper and kindling. The wood hissed and sizzled. Everything was wet from the snow. It wasn't going to burn. But then, with a little pop, the kindling caught fire and began to glow and grow. Slim looked down at us with his soggy eyes. I'm going back to bed. Come get me in 5 minutes and I'll add some bigger chunks. You done good, boy. He went back to bed. We were a couple of heroes, no question about it. We were sitting there watching the fire and feeling proud of ourselves when a heavy gust of wind rattled the house. It came down the chimney and started filling the room with smoke. And fellas, we're not talking about a little puff of smoke, the kind we'd had before. This was a whole cloud of smoke that filled the living room and moved into the rest of the house. We both coughed and gasped and ran into the kitchen. Guess who met us there? Drover.
Oh my gosh, Hank, I think the house is on fire. Help, murder, mayday, fire, fire. Hold my leg, let me out.
I watched him squeak and run in circles. Drover, please try to control yourself. The house is not on fire.
Then what's all the smoke doing in here? Where there's smoke, there's bound to be a fire. Help!
True up to a point, Drover. There is indeed smoke and there is indeed fire, but it happens that the fire...
It happens that the fire... It happens... Just skip it, Drover. I can't breathe.
Yeah, because the house is burning down.
The house is not...
What'll I do? If I stay in here, I'll fry.
Then go outside.
I'll freeze.
Stand on your head. Sit on a tack. I don't care what you do.
See, I knew you didn't care.
I care. What more can I say?
Well, you could say the house isn't really on fire.
I looked into the vacuum of his eyes. I already told you that.
Yeah, but I didn't believe you.
If I said it again, would you believe me?
Well, I don't know. I guess we could try.
Fine. Drover, the house is on fire and you're going to get fried like the weenie you really are. His jaw dropped and he stared at me. Do you believe me or not?
I think not.
Great, we solved that one. Go back to bed. He gave me a puzzled look, shrugged, and trotted back out to the utility room, curled up, and went back to sleep. You know, that is the weirdest little mutt I ever saw, heard, or dreamed of. Well, disposing of Drover brought us some peace and quiet. Unfortunately, the smoke cloud remained, and in fact, it had gotten thicker and worse. Alfred's eyes were watering, and he grabbed a tea towel and covered his nose and mouth with it.
Hanky, I think we did something wrong with the stove, 'cause it not supposed to make all that smoke.
Right. Yes. We'd obviously missed a step somewhere.
I couldn't imagine what it was, but... Huh? The very last thing I expected to see just then, and I mean the very last thing in the whole world I expected to see just then, was a red-eyed mummy monster. A huge red-eyed mummy monster wrapped in a sheet. And I couldn't be 100% certain that he planned to eat me and little Alfred, but he certainly gave me that impression. You think I'm kidding, don't you? You think I was seeing things or exaggerating, don't you? Huh, I wish. This was not only the first red-eyed mummy monster I had ever seen, but it was the first one who had ever offered to eat me. Bones, hair, toenails, eyeballs, the whole shebang.